today, if I could walk to the airport, I would go to Ireland. Have not been there. It's on the bucket list, but I think it's time.
Yeah. Well, that's where I'm going. So I literally get to that in 2 days. So I'm taking your dream. But you I will let you know. Because
is it worth it?
I think it's going to be worth it. Hello and welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Framework Podcast. I'm hosting here today out in beautiful Omaha from our partner summit here at Carson. And again, I'm Jamie Hopkins hosting this episode, managing partner of Wealth Solutions at Carson. And so Brent, super excited to have you on the show here today. One of our newest partners from Northwest Capital Management out of the Northeast, which kind of makes sense based off the name. So I love that Seattle and Portland locations. And you know, you and I have got to spend a lot of time together the last 6 or so months. So super excited, Brent, to have you on the show here today.
Thanks, Jamie. Really excited to be here.
And so, Brent, two questions I always love to kick off with. And one of the first ones is about food. And you and I got to have a great dinner out in Portland earlier this year. But I don't think I've ever asked you this. What's your favorite food item?
I'm pretty simple. It's not very exciting. But my aunt married into an Italian family, and her mother-in-law cooked scratch lasagna. Mm. And since I could walk, that was my birthday dish and transformative.
So other listeners of the show actually might know this. That is my favorite food item, and it's what I have on my birthday.
Really?
Yes.
Did not know that. Yeah. Just learned something new today.
Yeah, so I have lasagna on my birthday. Then my second favorite food, which often is my actual answer to people, and they ask, is just cheeseburgers, right? Which is basically lasagna. Right? It's ketchup, meat, cheese, and bread instead of pasta, meat, cheese, sauce.
But you've introduced me to a great steakhouse here in Omaha, so thank you for that.
Yeah, the Drover is a fantastic place.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I love food, so always good to start with that one. The next one is, Brent, tell us a little bit about your first money memory.
So I don't think a lot of people knew this about me, but right out of college in the mid-90s, I started my professional career in Phoenix as a police officer. And I going through the training academy and working with a training officer, I was very interested in one of the things that was communicated to me was that a lot of police officers really struggle. They work 20, 25 years, put their lives on the line, and they really have retirement problems. They just never give it that much thought and whatnot and connecting the dots. And to me, just kind of hearing that in kind of a community setting, for whatever reason, really struck a nerve with me. And I actually transitioned from, after 4 years on the police force, I went to work for an organization called ICMA that does retirement plans specifically for public sector certain civil servants. And so that's how my career got started, and that's kind of my major money, you know, memory.
Yeah, no, I love that one. It's because that's really the, like a really impactful money story and how it transitioned your career.
Really did.
And so for those who don't know you and the team, super well yet out there in the industry, but you guys have been really a great leader in the retirement plan space and have done amazing work there. And it's one of the reasons, right? Carson was super attractive, you know, to what you guys built, and it's super excited to roll that out. And a lot of the stuff you guys do to our advisors and just raise the bar out there. But tell us a little bit about how you guys have constructed your team and how you've won business in the retirement plan space.
Well, that's interesting. You know, we have a practice that really goes up and down the West Coast, and our message is that we are independent fiduciaries that work with plan sponsors and their committees to develop a best-in-class retirement plan, something that an organization could be proud of to offer in their benefit package. But almost as important is that their participants really value, and they get a lot of engagement out of that. So we really tackle it in two phases, is making sure that the plan sponsors are engaged, they know their regulatory obligations, they're doing the right things, checking the boxes so they don't get in trouble, and they have a great retirement plan. The second phase is really getting participants to engage so that they have successful outcomes that 10, 20 years down the road, they look back and they're like, this is working. I have the ability to retire and do what I want in the second phase of my life.
Yeah. Well, when I work with advisors, a lot of times what I see is people, you know, kind of a lot of advisors, I should say, get those business owners where maybe they have one or two plans and it's not really a focus of their practice. And I think the, you know, wealth management world is kind of separated like that. You've got shops that are really good wealth management, work great with the participant kind of level people, their individual clients, and then other people have really focused on the retirement side. You've been able to do both really well. But I think the part that probably interests a lot of advisors out there is, you know, how do you go win RFPs and actually go after the business versus just the business that kind of shows up randomly on your door because you already work with the business owner. But you guys have done an amazing job actually going after RFPs. So what are people looking for in that space?
They are. It is an interesting space. It's difficult to get into, but once you're in there and you have the credibility, you get invited to RFPs, you get on short lists because you have the clientele and the track record. And we work with small plans, we work with medium-sized plans, and we work with some very large plans, which, again, it was a painful process growing the client base. But now that once you're there, now you can check the box. Every plan sponsor is like, well, do you have clients that look like us? Once you can say yes and you have a good offering that they can understand and they can buy into and can engage with, it's pretty easy from there.
Yeah. Well, I love that. What's one thing that you'd probably say has shifted in the last 5 years in the retirement space? And then I'm going to ask the other one. So we'll start with that. But let's just start with what's something that you found really interesting that's shifted recently?
Without a doubt, in the last few years, which I didn't see coming as quickly as it really has, and some of it's due to the tight labor force and whatnot, mm-hmm. but plan sponsors trying to attract and retain key employees, they're really looking at their retirement plan to attract and retain. Can it be one of their staples of their benefits to keep those key personnel? And so they are asking us and their other service providers like their record keepers, this needs to be a very engaging experience and benefit. And before, you know, and maybe 10, 20 years ago, it was all about engaging the committee and the experience the committee was having. That mandate has really shifted. You still got to do a good job with the committee, but now the focus, the number one thing we're getting asked in RFPs is what can you do for our participants? And that's really been a sea change in the industry.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see that because, you know, I've loved the retirement plan space for a long time. I built, you know, helped build the RICP program at American College. I started off in ERISA law. And what I found then is, like, becoming a retirement plan participant of myself, that the experience was awful, right? Like, the widgets didn't work. The calculators were wrong. I remember the first one, and I was plugging stuff in. And, you know, at that point, I had just come off of an M&A analyst job, and I'm, you know, building content in a retirement income program. And I was just like, all of this is terrible, right? Like, it's not accurate. And I know that those have improved a lot, too. But it didn't instill any confidence that I was saving enough, what my income would be long term. So I think that level too of just showing people, and we've talked about this separately, that, you know, you can save enough to retire and then that you're okay to retire are two things that just the tech side on the participants not quite there yet. And so I'm really excited about, you know, the partnership here and being able to build out some of that roadmap. There are good tools out there today too, but being able to distribute them to a lot of people is really exciting.
That's one of the things that we're really excited about with the partnership with Carson. We're a boutique firm. We work with some a lot of retirement plans, some large plans, but to really scale the participant engagement with the support of Carson and their know-how and expertise, I couldn't be more excited about that. I think you mentioned the technology. It's there, but it's an incomplete experience. And in my experience, what folks are looking for, or retirement plan participants, whether they're 20, 30, 50, they want to be able to check in with somebody they can trust. They don't feel like they're being sold something. Am I doing the right thing? Yeah. Whether it's, am I deferring enough? Am I in the right investments? They just want to have that conversation. And when you can give them that experience, you can get survey results like, I feel like I'm in good shape versus I'm not sure that the calculator really understood what I was trying to accomplish. Yeah. Not that it's a bad tool. It's just not a complete solution.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's a big shortcoming of calculators and tools in general without the human element is, you know, I do believe technology has gotten so much better. I mean, we've talked about it, you and I, and just, you know, the different AI solutions out there and how fast and impressive they've been. But a lot of, I think your point, it's an incomplete experience today. And I think the advisor relationship is super important to that, to building a better experience. And I don't think that's going to be completely displaced in my view. I do think that there'll be pressure on, you know, can we do this with fewer people long term? But I don't think it's getting displaced because people crave that. What's one thing, though, that you do not think is going to change in the next 5 years? So I love that. It's a little bit different, right? Yep. It's not what do you think is going to change, but what do you think is going to stay the same for the next 5 years in the retirement plan space?
Oh, I the thing that was changing probably the quickest was like investment menu construction, target date funds or ESG. When my guess is over the next 5 years, that's not the space that's changing a lot. That, you know, there might be some subtle changes here and there, but I think the investment menus are where they're at. I think it's going to be, like I said, the change is going to focus around that participant experience. And I would just, you know, kind of dovetail on your earlier statement and question was, you know, what we're learning over our decades of doing this is participants, you know, go through life just like our wealth clients go through different, and what's important to them changes. And plan sponsors realize this, and they understand that you need to have some type of engagement program for your 20-year-olds coming in the workforce, and it needs to speak to them. Mm-hmm. Then somebody mid-career, you need to understand what they're going through in their life stage there. And then probably equally as important, this is really a fascinating area of change, is folks 7-10 years away from retirement, getting their ducks in a row is super intimidating to the average retirement plan participant. And so we really look at those three milestones.
Yeah.
It's like, are you doing something along that participant experience, early, mid, and late career, that you're not leaving anyone behind?
Yeah. I love it. And so when you look at, I think this is a big question, a lot of advisors and I guess consumers, if anyone's listening to, is probably interested in. So I got to phrase it kind of in two ways, and you can answer it in one way. But it's the, you know, so from a participant experience, when a company like Northwestern Capital Management comes in and works with the company side and they deliver this experience, how does that build trust to then maybe work with them post-retirement or even while they're still employed there? Because that's a little bit of this, I think, the strategic play that's really helpful for individuals is the ability to give that full service experience under ERISA really doesn't exist, right? The regulations around ERISA don't allow you to kind of come in at the plan side and then manage everything else in their life for good reason. But then the advisors can come in the right situations and help them with the outside assets and put a traditional financial plan in place and continue to work with them. And you guys have done a lot of work on that and seen a lot of success. I think a lot of firms haven't, so that's really unique to the way you've approached that.
I think the roadmap that you spoke to earlier is something that I like to think that I can see where this industry is going. You know, the old saying, where's the puck going?
Yeah.
The one thing that I didn't really see getting endorsed so quickly over the last few years is that plan sponsors that we worked with 10, 15 years ago were very protective that we worked with committees and we really didn't engage plan participants. Mm-hmm. Let the record keepers, the Fidelities, the Empowers, whatever, they handle the participants. That has changed, and it's changed quickly, where they are looking to us. We're a trusted advisor in that fiduciary relationship. They want us to work with their participants. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is that participants like dealing with the tools and working with the record keeper, but when it comes to making a decision, like, am I ready to retire? Do I have my ducks in a row? I get one chance mm-hmm. at this. They want to do it with a trusted professional. And plan sponsors are not only allowing, they're encouraging us to provide that solution. And that is, I think that's the opportunity.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I think we've done a great job covering some of that landscape really quickly. I'm going to try to hop to a couple other fun questions here to kind of get us through a wrap up. So one, and I didn't prep you for these, so I'll do a little rapid fire. So just do the best you can.
Okay.
Which is the first one. What's a book that you've read recently or just a book that comes into mind that you think's been really impactful that you would recommend others to take a look at?
The Wealthy Barber.
Yeah?
Yep. Just one of those earlier in my career, pay yourself first. I use it a lot when I speak to retirement plan participants, something that a non-financial person can read. Great stuff. It's been out forever.
Yeah.
Authors from Canada. It's just one of those that it's easy concept, but I really believe if you follow it, transformative.
Yeah. So what's one place in the world you'd love to travel to if you could go anywhere right now? No restrictions, but you could just go.
Wow. If I could walk to the airport, I would go to Ireland. Have not been there. It's on the bucket list, but I think it's time.
Yeah. Well, that's where I'm going. So I literally get to that in 2 days. So I'm taking your dream. But you I will let you know because...
Is it worth it?
I think it's going to be worth it. So I'm super excited about that. And, you know, that's my family. Yeah, my great-grandfather was born there. And so I've got that whole, like, it's like a heritage thing, but I haven't been yet. And so my wife and I are going, and it's going to be, yeah, really, really fun. So one last one, and you know we have the book, and kind of one of the Carson mottos is find your freedom. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, what does freedom mean to you? What does freedom mean to Brett, right? How would you describe that today? And then last, how close are you to that, like out of a 1 to 10?
Well, those are great, great questions. And I think that it has been a journey over, you know, my 50 years of being on this planet is a lot of like what Ron said today on stage. What was important to me, my definition of freedom has evolved. And I think like a lot of folks, the definition of freedom was what was in the bank account. And now I've over the last couple of years, it's really looking back on legacy. What will my kids remember? And the ability to in my day when I, you know, my normal day to day, when I get up, do I enjoy it? And am I having some type of impact that will, that's beyond myself? And we are, as we're joining you, as mentioned today in the general session, we are a registered B Corp, and we really take that to heart that, as an organization, we have success. We have, you know, we've enjoyed monetary gains. We've helped our clients, but we really look at it in our community. It's like, we've been very fortunate. Can we leave when we're all done? Did we leave the Portland metro area or the cities that in which we work in a better place outside of just doing retirement planning and whatnot? And that, so that's the next chapter for me, is having that existential impact, if you will, on our community. And we do a lot of that. And I can see that's important, not only to me, but to our team. We now do that in our hiring process. It's just been a big culture thing for us.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask one more about that and then I'll wrap up, which is, I'd love for you, you know, just a minute or two, tell people what the B Corp status means. Like, what does it take to get it? It's super tough, right? It's
it
not
really
an easy
is.
Thing. I think we saw two of the other firms at Carson got it in the last year, which I think is really awesome.
Yep.
And, but yeah, I'd love to hear, like, why was that so important? What does it really mean?
It's very similar to the Carson Network. It's a group of like-minded professionals in different industries that really have this common goal to not only have an enterprise and have some financial success, but to have a positive impact in the community. And it does two things. It's requiring you to take a look and to meet certain service standards, if you will, with your employees, how you treat the environment and whatnot. But then it also kind of has you look as like, what is your impact outside your walls in your community? And it's been interesting that it's really spoken to our clients. Like, we have a lot of great content on our website. And the thing I would say 80 to 90%, why did we get the phone call? Saw that you were B Corp. And it's a value proposition. And people can see that our community, our employees are an important part of our value proposition. And they want to come talk to us and see if our values, you know, mesh with their values. So it's been great. And it's, once you are in the network, which I had no idea when we joined, how many great companies are there? And it is a fraternity. It is a great network of folks trying to do good in you know, if you will, this, the term escapes me, but this generous capitalism, if you will. Yeah. And it's great.
No, I love that. You know, Ron mentioned on main stage that, you know, he's made it a goal to take all of Carson Group to being a B Corp, and they've already started. So he actually said they're starting the fourth quarter. We've actually started already. We've made some changes to kind of prepare for it and go through the process. And then Sarah Kane, one of our coaches, she actually helps advisors do that as part of, so she's involved with that process here too. And I think that's amazing. So, you know, I'm excited about it too. I think it's meaningful to think about your impact, as you said, not just financially, not just on your stakeholders, but on the community. And there's actually a lot of research, right, which is kind of where this started, which is, right, if you see the best companies, they actually focus on all three, right? It's the external impact, their clients, and their stakeholders. And if you actually do all three better, we actually see those companies be more successful long term. So not only is it that, but if you want to have that lasting legacy, you really do need to look at all three.
I couldn't agree more. Don't do the B Corp for marketing purposes. That's not the right angle. I don't think it'll jive. But if it does speak to you, if it's something that speaks to your team, your culture, there is a positive impact on the new business front because it does resonate with the consumer as well. I can't tell you how excited I'm here that Carson, as a very large enterprise, is going to go through the hurdles to make B Corp registrations a priority. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming out here today.
I'm
super excited for the partnership with NWCM and Carson and your whole team. I mean, just truly from my heart, I've got to spend a lot of time with the team. They're fantastic. They're great, just human beings. They're super sharp, well-educated, do great with their clients. So I know that they're going to fit in and just thrive here, which is one of the words we were using today. So it just fell right in there in this partnership. And I'm excited for, the other advisors here to be able to learn from you. I mean, that's what this is about. And so thank you for coming on and sharing on the podcast today so others can learn, kind of about how to especially, build this framework of retirement planning into a wealth management firm. So Brent, again, thank you for everything you've been doing. And thanks for joining up here with Carson and for coming on the Framework Podcast today.
It was my pleasure. Enjoyed it. Thanks, Jamie.
And thank you everyone else for listening to this week's episode of the Framework Podcast. Again, I'm Jamie Hopkins and this is Brent Petty and super excited to be out here live in Omaha, Nebraska at our Partner Summit. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast or whatever favorite podcast channel you have and so you never miss an episode. Stay safe and healthy, everyone.